about this.
Our brains change.
Memory is an amazing.
What you think is in
our
there
brains
is
aren't
really
finished. They're not fully cooked yet.
You go with your heart. And
we don't have any idea why
we're so smart.
Most of the things that we're doing.
But here's the deal.
It's very easy to lose track of time and in some ways track of self.
I'm Art Markman.
I'm Bob Duke.
I'm Rebecca McEnroe, and this is Two Guys on Your Head. Today, illness and identity.
One of the things that's happened with the COVID-19 pandemic is that a number of people who've gotten ill enough to have to go into the hospital have been in a situation in which nobody can come to visit them. Some of them actually get very sick and end up having to be in intensive care. And it's a very lonely experience, even for patients who go in and are admitted and can have visitors in more normal times. There's very little change in the context from moment to moment. It's very easy to lose track of time and in some ways track of self.
Everything that we understand intuitively about the passage of time is based on the things that we experience over time. And most of us are fortunate enough to have a good bit of variety in what we experience as days unfold. But I think when you're isolated and you're around strange people who, as kind as they may be and as interested in your well-being as they may be, they're not the people you're close to. And that connectedness to people is certainly a stabilizing feature of one's life and a big part of one's sense of well-being. And when you take that away, I mean, understandably, it's dispiriting. And for some people, it could lead to serious states of depression as well.
Now let's layer another thing on top of that, which is how horrible it is to be really ill. Some of our listeners are people who may have suffered through significant illnesses in their lives. Some may be lucky enough never to have had a significant illness, but everybody's at least had a really bad headache or a really bad stomach ache. And what's amazing is no matter how good you feel good, when you feel lousy because you've got the flu or a stomach ache or a headache or worse, you are a qualitatively different human being. In those moments, because your body is fighting to get better and you're dealing with pain and discomfort, that becomes the centerpiece of your existence in that moment, which makes it very difficult to focus on other things that are going on. And to the extent that you are grappling with something that is also a serious disease, there is fear and anxiety that goes along with that because you don't know what's coming. I mean, anyone who's had a bad cold and knows the course of a cold for them, knows they're going to have a couple of days where you've got a runny nose and a headache and you're sneezing and then it'll settle in your chest. And you can, after a while, you can sort of predict, oh, this is the phase I'm in with this. And so while it's annoying, it's not so anxiety producing that you can't function. But in the case of a serious illness whose time course is not well known, that has potentially life-threatening consequences, that becomes a central focus for you. That becomes the thing that dominates your life in that moment, making it hard to think about anything else. And if on top of that, you have to navigate this alone, this is anxiety provoking. It makes it hard to really pay attention to a lot of the things going on around you. And this becomes even worse when you are also in a situation in which medical decisions need to be made. But you know, what's interesting is, I mean, there are chronic illnesses where people are in the hospital for other reasons. And this is not what's going on here. If you're in the hospital for COVID-19, it's because you can't breathe in that moment. And so the experience of the people in the hospital is not one of boredom. It's one of abject terror. And of course, the family members at home, there's nothing you can do.
That sort of highlights the uniting feature of everybody in circumstances like that. The person who's hospitalized and loved ones as well is just the sense of helplessness. And this is why I think it's so hard for people to hear medical experts who say, look, we have to be slow at this and this isn't over. And I think it's, you know, I would much rather hear somebody tell me everything's going to be fine and let's get back to normal. But it's not going to be fine and we're not going to get back to normal anytime soon. One of the things that relates to things we talked about in other contexts is the felt need to do something. And staying home doesn't feel like doing something, you know, because it's the choice not to go out and not to be around people that is, by all medical experts' estimates, the way that's going to slow this down. And how can you tell me I'm doing something by not doing something? It doesn't feel like I'm doing anything.
There's another piece to this too. Part of the problem is that when you're feeling well, you assume how bad could this be? You know, I've been ill before, so, and I got over it. So how bad could this be? And some people are asymptomatic, but I think it's actually worth thinking of yourself at your sickest. And it's worth thinking specifically about this, bringing yourself up close to it. We've talked on previous shows about this notion of construal level. How close are you to this? And for most of us, we are far from the disease. And I think what we have to do as we make decisions for ourselves and for other people is also to bring ourselves close to this and ask ourselves, are we willing to take certain actions at the risk of this specific and really horrible set of symptoms? That is the trade-off is a specific one. It's not an abstract one, and we have to treat it that way.
Next week, we'll talk about the psychology of the protest. David Alvarez is our engineer, and I'm Rebecca McEnroy, and I produce Two Guys on Your Head for KUT Radio in Austin, Texas.